Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here again this week. And welcome. We're starting the new year off, and today's going to be a wonderful, wonderful show. I'm actually here in Hawaii this week, and we are going to, our show today is going to be specifically dedicated to a very, very special guest and a lot of information about Las Vegas, Nevada, and the surrounding areas. Typically, we have our first half of the show is real estate. The second half is self-help, motivational. And today we're going to, I know this show will speed by as normal. It's always so fast. And anybody who wants to call in, the call-in number is 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. Our special guest today, I am so excited, I get to interview Larry King, and we'll tell you a little bit more in a little bit. Larry King is has been in the Nevada Vegas area for over 40 years. He is a realtor, and he just has so much history, and he knows the area so well. So we are going to have a blast today going over the ins and outs of real estate in Nevada. If you're thinking about moving to Las Vegas, Nevada, surrounding areas, Larry King, he can update us on it all. First-hand knowledge, he knows rural areas as well as the city life. And I'm just really excited. This is going to be a lot of fun. Once we get into it, you will see even more why it's going to be a lot more fun. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce Larry King. Hey, Larry.
Hello. Hello. Hi, Natalie. How are you?
I'm just wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on today. And I never, ever thought I could interview you, Larry King. Now, so do you get, Larry King has your name, the television personality has your name, and do you get a lot of that, a lot of comments, a lot of calls? Do you actually get contacted by people?
I do. And, you know, being named Larry King, I've done some research on it, and I found out that I'm the original, and he's the second wheel because In 1976, I believe, he was working radio in Florida as Larry Ziegler, Larry Zakanovich. And
Hello.
His station manager said, that doesn't have much ring on the air. And they worked on it for a couple of days, and he became, in 1978, Larry King. And I started out in, oh, God, way back in the...
You're the original, Larry King.
I'm the original.
Now we bring on Larry King. How funny is that? It's so awesome. Do people bombard you, though?
Mind.
Like, do you get, like, Google searches and people contact you because they can get your contact information, thinking you're Larry King?
Once in a while I do. Once in a while I do. And I usually send them, some people just pound the hell out of me, and I'll send them a picture of myself, and I'll autograph it, and then I get all kinds of nasty little phone calls about it.
That's funny. That's hilarious. I can imagine. It is an honor having you on our show today because you truly are an expert in for anybody wanting to move to Las Vegas or the surrounding areas, you really know what you're doing. So I wanted to dig in because You know, a lot of people, when they hear Las Vegas, they automatically think, well, that's just all gambling, you know, and then people that like to gamble, and it's good for it, right? And they've got wonderful shows and restaurants, but there's so much more to Las Vegas and the surrounding area than just gambling, isn't there?
There is. Las Vegas, the entire Las Vegas Valley, made up of the city of Las Vegas, the city of North Las Vegas, the city of Henderson, and Clark County, there's approximately 2 million people living here doing quite a number of different diverse jobs. We have an Air Force base, Nellis Air Force Base, that has been training Air Force pilots on battle situations out in the training area, which is just north of the city. It's about the size of the state of Rhode Island. They used to do above-ground nuclear tests out there to determine and after a while, the government said, well, we can't put that stuff in the air anymore. It might hurt you. So they started putting it down in tunnels and down in well shafts. And when I first got here, it was not unusual to feel the ground move. And, of course, in California, they call that an earthquake. And in Las Vegas, they call it a nuclear blast. And the streetlights would wave back and forth. If you were driving, you sometimes move back and forth. It was fun, you know. You see the swimming pool, the water, and wave back and forth.
Really? And so that they don't do that? Do they? They don't do that anymore, right? Or do they still?
No. They stopped all that 8-10 years ago when they had the agreement with Russia, and we're not doing that anymore. But they used to do it to verify the yield on the nuclear devices in the submarines and in the hangars that the B-24s.
Like the B-52. I never knew that you, wow, that's interesting news. I never knew. My mother lives in Nevada, and we have a small satellite office there for our membership association, and I never knew that. Wow. That they actually...
They used to test quite frequently. They would drill a 12-foot diameter hole into the ground. You could put most of your smaller trucks are about 12 feet long, and they drill them 4,000 or 5,000 feet deep in one pass and put a device down there. They don't call them bombs. They put a device down there, backfill it all the way up to the rim with dirt and concrete and gravel, and at some point they pushed a button, it'd blow up, and all the testing sensors down there and figure out, wow, this thing still works.
How far out of like where Las Vegas is? I was just there actually a couple weeks ago for a week to see my mother too also, and then we go back and forth with business. How far out, like say Las Vegas, and you know where the Strip is in the center,
right, how far
out was this testing?
From the Stratosphere Tower, which is a long, spiny, spindly thing sticking up in the sky about 1,200 feet in the air, from there to the test site where they were testing was, probably 65, 70 miles.
Okay.
Not too far if you're nervous, but far enough if you're okay.
I'm just wondering, like from an environmental standpoint, if that stuff in the ground, if it is affecting anybody in the neighborhood where it would be, wonder if that just lingers on.
The Nevada test site is in a valley, and they were able to prove and determine that is a closed valley, meaning no water runs out. Either surface or groundwater run out. It all runs back in because of the volcanic nature of our area, our southern Nevada here.
Wow. So you don't actually have, like, this isn't, like, now they don't have, like, a residential building, they don't have a development sitting on this spot anymore now or anything?
Oh, they have literally probably thousands of buildings out there. They're still testing out there, just not nuclear devices. They are testing God, you've heard in the news and the movies, Area 51, oh, it doesn't exist,
yes.
It doesn't exist,
yeah.
There are aliens out there. That's out there. And
oh, so that's
just,
where Area 51 is?
Yes, on the edge of it.
Oh, my goodness, because I've seen that forever, and I just didn't, specifically, I didn't realize it was only like 65, 70 miles. Wow, how cool. So that, because I always wonder, because, you know, I've sold a lot of real estate over the years in Maryland, and Maryland had a lot of different testing grounds that the military did their testing on, different types of testing. And then people have concerns, you know, if it's safe, if it's environmentally safe later. Because, unfortunately, I mean, on Mother Earth here, we are putting in so much stuff. And, you know, just now there's a lot of big thing on the on cell phones and the Wi-Fi and, you know, electric magnetic fields and the safety. So, interesting. It's good that they were able to do it in the valley, and like you said, there's no water going. So they, I'm imagining that they're, that's one a big issue there, I would think, in that one spot.
It is an issue when they were testing the nuclear devices, and now a lot of their testing that they're letting everybody else know about is solar testing. You know, what type of devices work best with collecting the sun's rays, and what type of devices are best that make the most energy from the sun, from the rays of the sun. So
I wonder if that is that the military or is that the government or local testing done? I wonder.
Both.
Okay.
Both. It's big corporations. They're also testing some of the caves out there are so dense. The rock is so dense. They use them as a place to put spacecraft in, and then suck all the oxygen out, seal both ends and suck all the oxygen out, and see what it's like in the dead of space. And they will release a small diameter piece of junk, you know, like space junk, and let it float through and see what damage it does to the spacecraft they're testing and what they should be doing.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. I noticed that you did flying. Was that do you still have a pilot's license, or was that way back in the... Really?
Yes, I still do. Because it's a private license, every 2 years I have to go down and get a physical and pass the color test and all that. And
great.
I have a lot of fun flying. I used to volunteer my time for the blood service, going out and picking up blood that was drawn from volunteers and bringing it back to Las Vegas. When the earthquake happened in San Francisco, I was flying almost nonstop. I would fly Wayne Newton's plane at the time. He would volunteer for certain hours, and I'd fly his plane to Oakland to bring blood to the people that had problems with earthquake. You know, that's because
wow, good for you. And you were in the Vietnam War, right? So were you flying back then too?
No, I was an artillery officer, 8-inch artillery. They felt my services were best used on the ground.
Wow. I was looking at your history. It's just you really, really, to be in the industry with real estate, you've been in it for what, over 18, 20 years, I think it was reading.
Yeah, this is my 19th year, all in Las Vegas.
I was just so impressed with, like, your history that you have such good, great skills to bring somebody full force, you know, into this. I can see why you're in this industry and why you do so well.
Being an artillery officer, you know, does have its advantages. You can always, you know, if you don't like the listing, you can always bomb it and blow it up.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And you, and, oh, God, that's, and then I see you were actually, before you did this, you were a professional bull rider. Tell us a little bit about that.
When my father got a wild hair and decided he was going to be a rancher, we bought or leased, the family did, a little over 6,000 acres and up in Oregon. And we had 2,200 head of cattle that we would raise, beef cattle. And it was, you know, for 10-year-old, 11-year-old, it was hell. You're up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You got chores. You had to get them done. Then you had to walk. You had to walk a quarter mile to the end of the property and get on the bus. Hope it didn't go by already. And town was 18 miles away. If you missed the bus, it was the only bus, you started walking because, by God, you never came back and told Dad that you failed at anything. So you walked.
No.
And we would get up. We would ride horses and mend the fences. We would ride and move cattle from lower pastures to higher pastures. We'd move them from one place down to another. We'd watch some of the pregnant cows and make sure they were near some of the barns and loafing sheds. Worry about calving and hooving and branding. And so one day a friend of mine said, "Hey, I'm gonna run away from home and join the rodeo." And I said, "Well, what about the circus?" He said, "This is more fun. They pay you." I said, "Well, let's go." So Larry Mahan and I went and ran away from home and joined the circus, or joined the rodeo.
Really?
Neither one of us knew know anything. And we got in, we signed up, got up to the desk, said, "Hey, we're signing up for rodeo." And the guy says, "Well, what do you want to do?" He said, "You know, if you're a real man, you'd be a bull rider." So we said,
"Hey,
that's for us. We'll be a bull rider."
Out of the mouths of babes, when you're young, we do anything, huh? No fear.
No fear. You know, it's back when our butts were made of iron, we could not be broken. Our first ride, supposed to ride 8 seconds. Our first ride was less than a second and a half each. We thought, that's not bad. So we went to the next rodeo because you always go, there's always a rodeo some weekend, somewhere, sometime. And for the 4 years of rodeo, I ended up with 87 different broken bones.
Oh.
And, you know, it's kind of like a badge of courage. Wow, broke a finger today. That wasn't bad. Oh, I just
shook the rib. You got used to it, huh?
Not so bad. You kind of do. You know, you get a 170, 160, 180-pound kid on the back of a 2,000-pound bull, and you tie yourself down real tight, and all that bull wants to do is get you the heck off of him.
Really?
And,
especially, I can imagine.
And unlike bucking broncs, when you fall off the horse takes off, but when you fall off the bull, he turns around and says, "Okay, now you're mine. You're in my pound." And they proceed to try and do some damage, and I've had all my long bones broken. I've had most of my ribs broken twice. I've had all my fingers broken at least once. And I'd get back on. You know, it was more fun working 8 seconds than it was 12 hours on a ranch. Because
really?
After 8 seconds, oh, yeah. After 8 seconds, you can go into town. You can sit down in a bar. Now, mind you, we weren't really quite old enough to drink, but you could get a drink, you can have a meal, and never pay for a thing because you're with the rodeo.
You're like a star.
And we had fun, and of course, you know, we had to perform, and the rodeo would have chuck wagon, and we'd have to follow the chuck wagon on a docile horse, and it's like, wow, this is a lot of fun.
Wow.
But, you know, and then the government decided, "We're going to end your fun and send a letter to me that said, 'Greetings. We're going to send you to a resort, and you're going to have an all-expense-paid vacation and meet up at the local draft center.'" So.
Oh, yeah, you got one of those, huh?
Yeah, they saved me from the rodeo, and away I went. We ended up in Vietnam, which is, you know, it's a garden spot of Asia. A lot of fun.
Mm.
Learn how to grow up. But
my father was in the Vietnam War. Yeah, it's pretty. Well, thank you for serving.
Well, thank you. Thank your father for his work. We came back as some of the most not unforgotten. We were some of the most detested people on the earth when we came back because you know, Vietnam was very unpopular back in the 60s and 70s. And there was a lot of protests, at the airport where the GIs were coming back, unlike the Desert Storm and Afghanistan, you know, where they send a unit over, the unit comes back. We went over one by one and came back one by one, and it was a different war, it was a police action, a different police action.
Absolutely. Yeah, because it was not, I remember that. It wasn't declared at the time, and then it was just a mess, but gosh.
No, and we should have figured out, if the Vietnamese kicked the French's ass, how were we any damn better?
You know, my mother, I lost an uncle. He was French in that war. He was before the United States got into it, because my mother's, they were France, and he went and he died at 21 years old. When it was, I guess Saigon, it was where the French were involved before the U.S. got in. And what a mess! I mean, that's just not good. But boy, it does. That definitely makes you grow up real fast.
It makes you break you, and it's not a prideful thing. It's just the thing that happened at the time, and it's unfortunate, but you try not to let it bother you too much. Sometimes it still does, but, you know, that was all right. I came back. I went to Salem, Oregon, got a degree on my VA benefits, and moved down to Nevada to get a job with a brand-new Citibank credit card center. As a programmer, said, "Well, it's nice you applied. I'm glad we offered a job, but we can't do that because we're only supposed to hire Nevada residents." I said, "Well, I'd be a Nevada resident, but I stopped here first instead of stopping at DMV." So lost that job, and I went to work for Howard Hughes Industries programming slot machines.
Really? So you were in the computer industry, too?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Program slot machines, and I'll tell you, that is just the most wonderful thing in the world, is programming slot machines, and because every time you had a program change, you had to spend 100 hours testing the program to make sure it worked. They gave you $200 worth of coin. You sat there and you dropped it in, and you wrote it down. You dropped another coin in, you wrote it down. You dropped another coin in, you wrote it down. I'm so glad other people like slot machines.
So you did programming, though. Isn't it pretty much programmed to make for the house?
Legally, the word is from the Gaming Commission that every house must return. They're not allowed to retain any more than 67.8% of every dollar that's put in the machine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that has to be guaranteed, and by doing that, to make the guarantee work right, the percentages, they have to let some people win. And, of course, if somebody's losing all the time, they put looser chips in to allow the machine to pay a little better, and stiffer chips in, tighter chips, so that machine doesn't pay quite as well. And there's a real art, they say, into which machine location in the casino is the worst and which is the best. And I myself have no proof one way or the other, because I hate slot machines. I have $10, and friends come to town, I'll sit there in the 25-cent machine and play one quarter at a time, and the cocktail waitress still comes around for one quarter at a time. They bring you
as long as you're gambling, yeah.
As long as you're gambling, you can drink well. They're not cheap drinks. They're not watered down drinks. They are good drinks. They have the idea that it will lubricate your hand and your wallet, and you will spend more faster.
Yeah, it's definitely, if you have a gambling addiction, Vegas is not the place to go.
No,
definitely not.
No.
Definitely not.
No.
Well, okay, so somebody wants to come in now and they want to buy in real estate in Vegas, and there's so much more to do than just gambling. As you say, you don't gamble, you know, it's not something you're into. So, you know, what's it like if somebody wants to move to Vegas, is it, are there jobs available? Is it easy if somebody's coming in and they're brand new and they don't, they've never been to Vegas or they want to move and maybe they don't have a position yet? Tell us a little bit about, like, if somebody wants to be in the, like, the different vicinities, like what you would recommend if someone says, hey, I want to move, but I don't know where to start.
There are, Las Vegas lays in a big valley that's tilted high in the north and low in the south, and the temperature differences in the middle of summer are about 5 to 8 degrees warmer in the south than the north. The houses in the south have been around a little longer than the houses in the north, if you're looking at new houses. The land density that the houses are on by the builders, because of, if a builder buys an acre of land, they want to know how much they can get back out of it. So they'll put four houses on it, they'll put six houses on it, they'll put eight houses on it on each acre just to get a fair return on their money. Well, in the south part, Green Valley, that's in Henderson, the density stacking of the houses is a little bit tighter, and the houses are a little bit more, not appreciably more, but, you know, 2-3% higher.
On the south side, okay.
On the south side. There are people in this valley that I will not live in Green Valley. I will not live in Summerlin, which is out west. I will not live in Scotch 80s. I will not live, which is right downtown. I will not
live. So Summerlin's out west. I've heard a lot about that.
Summerlin's out west. That is Howard Hughes' mother's maiden name. He traded that property. He traded for that property from a bunch of scrubland he had in Texas that was worthless, and he held that until his death, and his family, the family heirs, finally sold it to various developers, and they started building out there. And out there, when at the time when they started building, people were thinking, who would live in their right mind that far out of Las Vegas? And now there are houses built further west than Summerlin.
Wow. Well, so how much time, like if you're right in the, where the stratosphere is in the strip of Vegas, how far away is Summerlin from there?
Summerlin is probably,
drive-wise,
8-12 miles.
Oh, that's not very far.
Well, at the time, now, when they started building it, you got to Rainbow Boulevard, and Charleston was a two-lane road with
one line,
and Sahara stopped a little past Rainbow, and it was just a gravel road, and so they started building way out there. The builders were betting on, everybody thought it was a fool's errand, and it has paid them back royally. And
it's, wow.
It's a very nice master plan community wherein each community is in a certain location and distance to the retail outlets and to the libraries and things
like
that. And the freeway that's out there is fairly new in the last 8 years.
Well, when you say like 8 to 10 miles, because of the traffic patterns and everything, can you get there in 20 minutes or half an hour?
From the
stratosphere, like if we're taking Las Vegas,
right,
in a city, the strip basically, where people, when they travel in and just go for a few days and have a vacation, typically go right into the strip area, you know? Is that, how far away would that be driving-wise?
The rush hour in Las Vegas, there's two of them. There's one in the morning that runs from approximately 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning until about 9, and the one in the afternoon starts about 3:30 and runs through 6 p.m. Other than those times, you can get from the stratosphere to downtown Summerlin in about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
During rush hour, you're about 45 minutes.
That makes sense. I mean, we have rush hour everywhere. So what are the prices of homes? If somebody wants to get just an average single-family home in Summerlin, what would be the minimum, you would say? And then I'm sure it goes on up from there.
You can get a very nice three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage on a fairly good-sized piece of property, and 1/16 of an acre to 1/8 of an acre for approximately $250,000.
Okay.
And up, your home association and master community fees are going to run you, the master plan fee is going to run you about $60 a quarter, and the home association fee is going to run you about the same, $60, $70 a month. And that pays for all the grass on the outside other than your front yard, all the street lights, because they're all private roads, all the street lights, the sidewalks, the gate.
Great.
The master plan community pays for all the green areas, the walking trails, and
nice.
It's a marvelously well-thought-out, well-planned community. It took them about 3 years of putting the infrastructure in, you know, the sewer, the lights, the power, the sidewalks, the main streets. It took them 2 or 3 years to get all that down and ready to go. And if you're wild and crazy and you're up there in the status, there's a $12 million home for sale up there in Summerlin.
Wow.
I'm not sure what you would do with 32,000 feet, four pools, and
32,000 square foot, the house? That's such a good buy, though, for 12 million. 32,000 is huge.
Natalie, you come on down. I'll write the offer today.
No, I don't. I'm just saying, no. I'm just saying that it's huge. Like in Hawaii, they spend $5 million for a 20-some-hundred square foot house, you know, but I can see, but 32,000 square feet, like when I compare to Maryland, you know, we all look at where you could buy,
right.
You could still buy a really for $1 million, you could get a 5,000 square foot place, which just depends where you are. So I can see
does. And it's a wonderful home. I've seen many, many pictures of it. We had opportunity to go through it on a broker open. And
wow.
I can't believe the thoughtfulness of the designer and the builder. And I don't know what I would do with a 4,000 bottle wine cellar, but I'd play hell keeping it full all the time.
Oh, wow. So in Summerlin, you can have everything from 200, 250 all the way up to 12 mil. You know, sounds really nice. And the schools, and then I guess the community centers have pools, I would think, or most people.
Yes.
I've noticed and it seems like in Nevada, Vegas, a lot of people have their own pool.
Pools are prevalent in about 40% of the homes.
Okay.
There are some people that just love pools to death, and there are others that we call former pool owners that will never own another pool in their life.
I know. Once you've had a pool for a few years, it depends on the work and then money. It's just so funny.
So
a circle around Vegas, another community. Maybe this one, you're saying Summerlin's more to the west. So
if we go north, you have what they call the Golden Triangle, which is out Highway 95 on the way to Mount Charleston or Reno. The homes out there, they're running 210 to 245 for the same three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car. The lots are a little bit larger, but the community features, it's not master planned. It's this builder built this community, that builder built that community.
And do they really look different? They really look that there's a very, I mean, they really look different.
No.
Since it's not master planned, or?
The thing that stands out in master plans communities are the sidewalks and the green belt areas. And
mm-hmm.
In the other communities, like in the Golden Triangle, they're not there. There's a sidewalk and a block wall, but the prices are are lower. The lots are a little bit bigger. You know, they might be another 400 or 500 square foot bigger. There is no master plan fee. The retail outlets are all there. They're all grouped in one area, so you may have to drive an extra half a mile to get to your retail outlet.
Okay.
In master plan communities, you can ride a bicycle. I'm 64 years old. Riding a bicycle in 110 degree weather, that bicycle better be in the trunk.
I don't think it's going to happen at 20 in 110 degree weather. You know.
I go from air conditioning to air conditioning, and that's about it.
Well, the north, okay, so just going to the north on some of these communities, how far does that take you to get from, like, the stratosphere, if you're looking at the strip as the circle in between, in the middle?
Time-wise, outside of those two rush hours, time-wise, it's about 15 minutes because you have the I-95 freeway that takes you right straight in.
So that's really okay. So that's about the same. Now let's jump over to the east coast of the east side. I say coast, but the east from Las Vegas.
Well,
from
got the northeast.
The strip.
You got the northeast, okay. Which is North Las Vegas. The homes out there, and we've only been talking about just the newer homes, the homes that are anywhere from 5 to 2 years old.
They're selling for less than $200 to $250.
Yeah.
Oh my.
The existing homes that have been built, Summerlin has homes that were built back in the '70s on the very, very early outreaches of Summerlin. Those homes you can get for $180.
Wow.
Large two stories, larger lots, and
wow,
40% of the homes. 40% of the homes have pools, 10% almost throughout Las Vegas. It's about 8 or 10% of the homes are one story. Where the rest of the homes that the builder built are two story because you could build a larger home on the same lot than a one story because of the footprint of the house it goes up. And as you get a larger home, you can ask for more money. The one-story homes are usually held to no more than 1,700 square feet. Three bedrooms, a little bit tighter, you know, 12 by 12 bedrooms. And you got your two bath, two car. Decent-sized yard. You can put a pool in if you don't have one. If one's there, it's not a bad size. And like they say, it's always the cheapest. The most inexpensive house in the neighborhood is your one-story home.
Right.
And my biggest problem is having a buyer come in. I will only work within one-story homes because of my ability to get up and downstairs.
You could let them go up there. Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it just makes the number of homes that are available to show less.
But if they want a two-story, you could just let them, I mean, as long as you know that you've worked with the people, you can let them go upstairs, right? Because that's what you want to be able to.
Yeah, we go upstairs, we walk around, we show any type of home it's been vacant, it's got owners in it. I do not like showing short sale homes because you have no idea when the bank may allow it to sell. I've seen them hang on for 18, 19, 20 months.
Well, that's a good point you're bringing up, short sales. I mean, we get involved in a lot of short sales, and when I compare short sales to 2008, 2009, the lenders literally were taking 20% less of what it was. I mean, they would take a 20% less of market value for a deal. Now we're seeing more and more short sale, the lenders wanting market value. So much
yes,
so that
do.
Some are even taking the houses, putting it in their portfolio and renting them out. And the REOs, once they've already been foreclosed on and are no longer a short sale, we're seeing them want market value now too, whereas in 08, 09, that wasn't the case. So it is putting people in a bad position on the short sales, isn't it? Because it's not like they're getting
yes,
a steal of a deal anymore like they used to.
You're not getting the deal. The thing that blows me up every time is I saw on the competitor's TV show that you can go out and you can get $20,000 off a house. I said, well, that was back then because the shows are still airing.
Right.
You can't do that today. Whatever is the list price that I've found in the last 5-6 years in Las Vegas, 3 or 4 years in Las Vegas, the price on the house is the price on the house. It's very tight.
Short sales, they're not negotiable. I've noticed the way they used to be. I mean, everything's negotiable, but they certainly are making it harder where I can understand where people just say, I'm just going to go to a regular deal. Well, now, with the market change.
Part of that reason is because we have so many buyers and our inventories, because the banks, the REOs, are holding their houses from putting them on the market, we have fewer homes for the buyers we have to select from.
Right.
And we end up often getting into a bidding war because if you're with a buyer and you're walking through a house and they're thinking, this is good, we need to go home, we need to think about this tonight, maybe tomorrow. Well, today somebody else looked at it yesterday and they're writing an offer on it today. Because if it's a good house, if you get that warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart that this is a good house, maybe now's the time to stop our tour and go find a place to sit down. If they have a kitchen table, use it, write the offer. I've done many of them.
Exactly.
And get it over to the seller. And it may be the only offer the seller sees for today. And they may just, if you're making a decent offer, they may just accept it. And the people that are thinking about it tonight just got beat out.
I love the way you're saying. Exactly, they can't. They don't have time anymore. Well, let me ask you. It's amazing to me when you're talking about Summerland and being able to buy a resale for say $180,000. Okay.
Yes.
We have our membership association, so I kind of keep my pulse on different areas around the country because we have to. And, you know, we talk back and forth, et cetera, and get on teleseminars and share information. You know, it's all in the news. You can Google things, but there's nothing like what we're doing with you right now, talking firsthand. You really know it. You know what's going on. And the market in Vegas, for example, Vegas and Florida really got hit hard. And in Florida, they're seeing a lot of people come in from other countries buying investments in the last year to 2 years. So it's been bringing the prices back up, maybe not like some areas. Like Hawaii has, the prices have constantly been rising on Oahu, but maybe not on the Big Island. You always have your pockets. I mean, you have your really high end that just is a different world. But in our regular, the majority of what the real estate that we all do is subject to what's been going on since, 2008. And the long question is the $180,000 price that you'd pay right now for Summerlin, was that half even 2-3 years ago? Has it still come up a lot? Or if somebody goes and buys right now, are they still on the upswing where it's going to be a great investment? And, of course, you and I can't predict. We're not allowed to, but we can give our opinions. Is that if they buy $180,000 now, is it probably just still on the rise in Vegas because it's starting to come back?
The market for the last year and a half has been fluctuating, and it's been fluctuating up. It will have a slower rise and then a little faster rise. And we used to be in the height of the, horrible, horrible years, we would see a $10,000 price increase in value of the house a week. Today we're talking maybe $300 or $400 a week in value. But they're going up. The days of the deal are pretty much gone. The Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving holidays, the houses don't lower to get them sold. They just take them off the market and wait for the market to come back in the middle of January and go back on the market at market price. And we have...
Wow.
I don't know.
Well, what would the one in Summerlin, like $180,000, what would it have been selling for 3 years ago?
3 years ago, $110,000.
Okay.
$110,000 and $115,000. I wrote a bunch of those. The problem we have now, I don't know about the rest of the country, but the problem we have now is we have a lot of appraisers that are very, very shy about giving a high appraisal.
Well, you know, one of the things that I saw in Vegas and in speaking with people and studying the markets there, we have a membership association there, but the brokerage stuff we refer with with people like you, you know, so that because you're digging into the market right there and you know it better. One of the things that we saw was that in Vegas, and it happened all over the country, but really strongly there, when you have so many foreclosures in one neighborhood, the lenders were not even letting loans be done because the percentage was too high of foreclosures. So people had to, if they wanted to buy, they had to come in and pay cash. So I heard stories where a $400,000 property might be able to have been purchased 3 or 4 years ago for $80,000. Is that true?
Yes, it is. But you had to look at the property. We had people with foreclosure. My wife and I were taking some clients around. My wife is a registered nurse, and on her days off, sometimes she goes with me.
Oh, great.
We were showing a house that previously was priced at $700,000 plus, and it was being listed currently a few years ago at just at $300,000. We walked in. There was nothing. There was a hole in the floor in the kitchen. Where the cabinet used to be. In the bathroom, the toilets, bathtub, and counters were gone.
Oh.
The ceiling, literally ripped out of the ceiling, all of the can lights, all of the fans, the doors on the inside of the house were gone. The listing agent actually had to buy a door to secure the property.
Wow. I think the people get upset and they take everything out, or you have people looting, right? Either of the above.
Looting is held pretty much to copper wire.
Okay, so this is owner that's saying, hey, if I'm losing the house, nobody else is going to get it.
Right. In Arizona, they are held that if they take all of their stuff out and put it on Craigslist to sell, the word I was given, I don't know this firsthand, but the word I was given is Arizona will prosecute. The bank will prosecute those people that they found that they sold the fixtures.
Oh, okay.
In Las Vegas, you can be prosecuted, but I haven't heard of anybody being prosecuted yet.
Oh, they're probably not going to waste their time. So, wow, it just sounds, I'm just amazed to me the prices and what you can still buy in Las Vegas. We've got about 12 minutes left before the end of this show. It goes by so fast.
Oh, goodness.
This is such interesting information. Now, we went over in the Vegas. Now, in Vegas, and then Summerlin, which is on the west side, and then north side, and then you have northeast. Now, what about the end? We went over south a little bit. What about east?
What about east? Well, let me back up just a quick moment. Las Vegas is the freeway system that serves the south, southwest, the west, the northwest, and the north. The east side was kind of left out of everything. And the east side, there are pockets of new build. There are pockets of homes that were built in the 50s. In the 60s. There are pockets of mobile home parks. You can get some really good deals on the east side if you stay close to the core. The further out you go until you get to the mountain, the houses up on the mountain, Arnold Schwarzenegger used to own one up there. President Kennedy had his name on one up there.
And that's on the east side?
On the east side. They're very, very well-to-do homes out there, but they're all
built. Now how do you get into town? You have to go around because you said the highway system wasn't set up for that?
Yes, yeah. You have to take surface streets.
If to go from the east side to go into the stratosphere, how long would it take you by car approximately?
Off rush hour, 45 minutes.
Okay.
Rush hour, hour and a half.
Okay. Wow.
I sell a lot of houses on the east side. Now, the east side is not bad. If you are a husband and wife that just got married and have that, one, maybe two children, you're just starting out. You really would like to have a home and move out of an apartment building. The east side and the north and North Las Vegas and Northwest are really, you can find some really, really good deals out there.
Wow.
We closed one last week in the Northwest for $160,000, three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car, two-and-a-half-car, with a pool for $160,000.
In where, in the Northwest?
In the Northwest.
Wow,
it was
amazing.
A single-story home. It wasn't in a planned community. It did not have association fees. It was just a community. And you can find those throughout Las Vegas. But for family, just getting started, we're tired of paying rent. We're tired of paying someone else. Those are the places to go.
Wow, Larry, I meant to do this earlier, and we've got it. You're on the taglines, but let's give your contact information, okay?
I'm ready.
Okay, so people can reach you. I'm going to say your website is vegasking.com. VegasKing, KING.com. I love that. And what about your phone number and email address?
Phone number is 702-271-7521. And my email is Larry@VegasKing.com.
Well, and then you can always, everybody go to RealtyUniversal.com, contact us, and then we'll forward you over to Larry as well. But I wanted to do that earlier, and we just got.
Remember all that? Get a hold of Natalie.
It goes by so fast, doesn't it? We have to get you on here again because this goes by so fast. There's so much to tell about with Vegas. So now on the real estate end, so when somebody comes in and they're going to rent first before they buy, what's an average rental? Can they come in and plan on if they're trying to save money or before they get a job or whatever? What would be
an apartment you can rent for $800 to $1,200 for three bedroom.
Okay.
House you can rent for $1,200 to $1,600 in most areas of town.
That's fantastic, and of course the hospitals, everything else is there. I mean, doctors.
Jobs abound in Las Vegas. They're building two new hospitals right now. They're building a couple of Fortune 500 companies have moved in. They're building. They are screaming for people. We've got a space agency out here. One of the players in the space agency are building out here. And
really?
Where are these
companies, like the Fortune 500s and all, where are they building?
In the north, northwest, mostly.
Okay.
And some way out in the south, out by Henderson. And the nice thing is here, we don't pay state tax.
Right.
We only pay federal tax. We don't pay county tax. The bad thing is escrow is approximately 30 days here, and that's what everybody's used to. When you make an offer, if you do not accompany your offer with a pre-approval from a recognized lender, your offer will be rejected and returned because it does not have a pre-approval.
Right.
And
it should be that way, though. They should be able to show whether it's a loan or cash and a pre-approval.
Yeah.
So it's about 30 days.
What
about your property taxes? How are the property taxes there?
Property taxes are decent. They're decent. My wife and I have a 2005 home, and our property taxes, it's a five-bedroom and a pool. God, I don't know how many bathrooms we've got. They all got to get cleaned. property taxes about $1,800 a year.
That's really cheap. That's really fantastic.
And
you know, that's not.
Right,
I mean, when I say cheap, I'm just saying it's when you say five bedroom house, that's a really good deal. I mean, I know in Maryland a five bedroom house is going to be about $6,000 a year. In Hawaii, the property taxes are low because they've set it up that way. But the price is so high that's a different story.
Yeah,
wow, this has been.
Get a hold of Natalie. She can find me if. Get your finances in order because the market goes quick. It's almost like an auction. If you don't raise your hand and sign an offer, somebody else is going to get it. It's almost identical to an auction. Everybody's looking at that same same item up on the table.
Wow.
And it's not unusual to be driving around on a weekend with a client looking for a particular type of house and to run into the same two or three agents with their clients at the next
house. That busy.
It's that busy. With the next
house. You know, because the prices have really, they're coming back up, it sounds, but they're still so reasonable that it's just amazing to me. Because
they're reasonable. Houses are not climbing near as fast. They're climbing $300, $500 a month, and you really need to be ready to offer what's the house is listed at, because you're not going to get your closing cost and $5,000 off and all this other stuff, just like HGTV tells you. You may get your
closing cost. This has been really enlightening. This has been really wonderful to talk with you, and I hope you come on again. And it's just really, really, you know your stuff. You've been there for so many years, and you've seen all the changes, and you're still sticking, you're staying there. You know, you really, it's I've noticed the business.
It's a fun job. It almost beats working.
I know. It's not like a job job. It's not like a job job. So anyone wants to go get their real estate license in Vegas, also call Larry, too. They can do that. And I'll tell you, it's just, you know, another thing, because we only have about 5 minutes, you can drive from Vegas to California in, like, what, 4 or 5 hours, depending on where you're going?
Pretty much. Yeah, you can get to Riverside, the top of the pass, going down into California in about 3 hours.
That's amazing to me. And San Diego, like five maybe? That's amazing. That's so close when I think about
it. Five and a half. My wife and I love to cruise. We go out of San Pedro down. Of course, we cruise the boats in the ocean. It takes us about 4.5 hours to get there, except on Sunday evening or Monday morning when the tourists are going back home.
Right. That makes sense.
Because the road is almost, that 4.5 hours turns into 8.
You know, I flew to my mother. I flew out there between Christmas and New Year's, and I'm from Hawaii. And then I ended up, because I got tickets at the last minute, I ended up transferring on my way back through L.A. And it was like 50 minutes from Vegas to L.A. to fly. It was like, wow, this is so close, you know, on the regular commercial flights. For someone who's in Hawaii a lot, and we're so far removed from everybody, it's just really quick when you get over there.
It is.
And Vegas is quick to get to the East Coast, too, or South, or anywhere. It's just really situated in their country where it's really, really neat. And
we have an international airport. Virgin, Richard Branson, just opened up a line from everywhere he flies into here. Japan and all of Asia fly in. We have an international airport facility for them. And you can get flights in and out. Just bus around with them. Try not to come in during tourist time because the rates go up because they have guaranteed passengers. But come in midweek. Stay a week. Leave midweek.
You know, the last thing I wanted to mention real quick, too, for anyone who wants to buy an investment, looks like the prices are good enough that you can still get a good invest, buy it for a good enough price, and then still rent it and make a good rate of return, it looks like, if you can pick something up for still $100,000+ and rent it out for $1,000.
There's a lot of properties being sold with tenant in place.
Okay.
So that's something to put under the hat and think about if somebody wants to.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I'll have to call you up for coffee when I'm out there because I fly back and forth. And we'll definitely, this is just great. This has been so enlightening. And I believe our listeners who aren't used to, you know, they're going to be able to. We have a lot of listeners that are archived, and we can see our stats, and we have an unbelievable amount of people that love to listen at their convenience. So this is going to be really enlightening for a lot of people because so many people think Vegas is just where you go to gamble. You know, they don't realize there's so much more to Vegas. And so, Larry, I want to, reach Larry, it's vegasking.com. You can also contact us, and we'll put you in touch with Larry. And I'm so excited. I can now say I interviewed Larry King. Isn't that cool?
You interviewed me live.
Live. Oh, my gosh. So, hey, Larry.
And I haven't had near the bypass surgeries or am I feeling
And you've been... You're amazing, amazing, amazing. So I thank you. You wanted to say a last parting shot to our listeners about Vegas.
Well, like they always say, if the price is right, come on down and let's see what we can do for you.